Why are people the way they are? Why are the good people good? And why are the bad people bad? Sadly, we look at our society and we see such a moral decline, and it's troublesome. And that ends up happening because of bad people being bad and their conduct being that way. We look at, and what ends up happening usually is a term that's called blame shifting. We instead of looking at that person and say, you are not responsible for this, we look at others. We say, oh, well, that person had bad parents, or that person had evil influences throughout their life, and that's why they are the way they are. And what ends up happening is everybody gets the blame except for the person who is responsible for it. You see, we have an individual responsibility to do what is right. We cannot put the blame on others, and we may try, but at the end of the day, I am responsible for myself. And you are responsible for yourselves. What I say, what I do, my actions, my words, my attitude are my responsibility. And I should strive to do what is right. You see, each one of us are responsible on how we conduct and live our lives. That is what we will be judged by. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." We look at this verse and we can see that it is, I will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I will receive the actions in which I have done in my body. And whether that is good or whether that is bad, I will receive the judgment that is just. We can now look at the verse before, and it says that we should want to be pleasing to God in all ways, in every respect. We want to be pleasing to God because of that judgment that will come. And we look in verse 14 in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. It says the love of Christ controls us. We should look at the way we live our life and look that we want to be pleasing to God because there's a judgment and because the love of Christ controls us. We should want to follow Jesus Christ. Now this leads to a teaching that Jesus gives about the heart. And I want us to look at Mark chapter 7, verse 14 through 16. Mark chapter 7, verse 14 through 16. He said, when he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, now this is Jesus, he said, "Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." We look at Jesus in his teaching here. He's calling the people together. He has a teaching for them. He says, hear me, everyone, and understand. Jesus was a teacher. Jesus was instructing people to live a better life, to live a life pleasing to God. And we should do this and we should listen to Jesus because the love that Christ showed us, the love that Christ showed on the cross for us and lived that perfect life without sinning, and he became our redeemer by going to the cross, dying, and being rose again on the third day. We look at this, and this scripture, Mark chapter 7, verse 14 through 16, there's two observations I want us to make as we look at this text. The first one is this, the things that enter a man. There's things that enter a man. And in the context, we'll clarify this in a second. He's talking about, in some ways, food entering a man. And also, we'll see the context later will be good actions, good motives, good thoughts, and all this stuff enters a man. So there's one thing that we can look at is what enters a man. And another is what comes out of a man. This is our actions, our conduct, and words, and even our thoughts. These will make us who we are and why we do things a certain way. Our conduct, what comes into a man and what goes out of a man. And this gets to the heart of the problem, and we have to look back at the context of what is going on. And this is in Mark chapter 7, 1 through 5. It says, "The Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Now, when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled," that is, with unwashed hands, "they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, cups, copper vessels, and couches." And then the Pharisees and scribes ask him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with unwashed hands?" What they are saying is this: why are they not following our man-made traditions that we have established for their own good? Why are they not listening to these traditions? Why are they not following these traditions? You see, these were oral traditions established by the scribe to prevent people from inadvertently breaking the commandment of God. Now, that sounds good. That's, well, we don't want to break God, so let's go a step further. What they are doing is binding things on others that God has not bound. And God has not even required or even commanded. What they have done is put their traditions ahead of God's commands. And that is what Jesus is going to respond to. He really highlights their problem, though. In Mark chapter 7, verses 6 through 9, he answered them. This is Jesus answered them and said, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do." And he said to them, "All too well you reject the commandment of God, that you keep your traditions." You see, what Jesus responded in regards to their man-made tradition, he said, Isaiah was right. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. You honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. You make these laws, and they're for the good, but you're holding your commandments and your traditions higher than God's. And when you do this, this is considered vain. It's vain worship. When you take your ways and expect people to follow them and honor God, this is in God's way. God's way is God's way. And we need to follow God's way. We look, and when they're honoring themselves by holding to these traditions, they're rejecting God's way. All too well, you reject God's commands in the place of your own. The New American Standard in verse 9 says, "You are experts." You are experts at setting aside the commandments of God in order to keep your traditions. You're excelling in that. You are doing a great job of setting aside God's law, God's commands, and following your own. And you shouldn't do it that way. You are trying to do things your way instead of God's way. And Jesus gives them that a specific example of what they are doing in verse 10 through 13 in Mark chapter 7. He said, "For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother.' And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban,' that is a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your traditions, which you have handed down, and many such things you do." You see, Jesus was giving them an example of what they were doing. God's command given to Moses says, honor your father and mother. And don't even speak evil of them, or the consequence is death. But their law there says, everything is earmarked to God. Sorry, parents, I can't help you. It's all God's. Here's my money. It's earmarked to go to God, which is Corbin. And there was a law that was preventing, their law was preventing them to follow God's law. God's law was them to honor, to take care of, to see after their parents. And yet they were putting a law, their own man-made tradition, and saying, well, if you earmark that to God, then you don't have to take care of them. And God's word is really in no effect anymore, is what Jesus was telling them. This is God's command, and you gave this law thinking it was maybe better. And what it was doing, it's no effect anymore. It's invalidating the word of God. Your oral traditions do this in many ways. In all this, Jesus is teaching them teaching what is the problem. Their heart is the problem. That which proceeds out of a man is what defiles the man. And in this teaching, we have to understand what comes out of us. The way we live, the way we act, it is the conduct of our heart. It comes from the conduct of our heart. And when we look at how we live our lives, that is a reflection of what is coming into a man. What comes out is a result of what comes in. Now, Jesus' disciples, they wanted further understanding of this. In verse 17 through 23, the disciples are, after they left and entered the house, they wanted to understand this more, so they questioned Jesus about this. And he said, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, it is eliminated, thus purifying all foods. And he said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man, for from within, out of the heart of a man, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, and all these evil things come from within and defile man. You see, Jesus questioned their understanding and gave them a simple lesson on eating and the digestive process. Eating is not going to defile a man because it goes into the stomach, not into the heart. And he talks about that. What ends up when you eat something, it goes in, it goes through the stomach, and it's eliminated. Jesus is not talking about that. Although he does clarify some laws of cleanliness, of foods that we can eat, he's deeming all foods clean here. But really, that's not part of, that's part of the lesson, but it's not really what Jesus' point is. You see, Jesus' point is what enters the heart that doesn't go through the digestive system. What enters the heart is what our actions will be. You see, the heart, the mind, if we constantly are filling our thoughts with evil things in evil ways, what is it going to produce? It's going to produce evil conduct. And he went through a list of those evil conduct. Why is that? Why is that going to define who we are? Because when we look at what is coming out of us, it's also, we have to look at what is going into them. Out of the heart of men proceeds this, those things, those evil things. So we have to be careful about what we are putting into our heart. And that's going to define who we are. Well, when we look at why am I the certain way, it's the conduct in which we are producing in our life. Matthew 7, 15 through 20, Jesus is talking and he gives them this example. Matthew 7, verses 15 through 20, Jesus said, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves, and you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from the bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad trees bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Jesus gives an example of how you are going to see and understand who people are. By their actions. By the fruit that they produce. You know, people often use this statement, do not judge me. Do not judge me. The Bible says, do not judge. But what is Jesus talking about? And when we see people's fruits, what ultimately are we happening is we're judging them. We're looking at them and saying, oh, their fruit is producing, whether it's good or bad, is producing a judgment of who they are. And why are they that way? Well, it's what enters the heart and what goes out from the heart, their actions, their thoughts, motives, words, and actions, all those things are the producing of fruit, whether it's good or bad. And we know that there should be righteous judgment. He said there are some that try to hide and be false prophets, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. And it's interesting, Peter also defines the devil as this. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he could devour. He is one that's out there. That's what a wolf will do. He is coming to devour and to destroy us. But Jesus wanted people to know, you can know people's conduct by the fruits that they produce. And you can make a judgment, a righteous judgment, on the way that people are living. But we have to be careful that we judge righteously, because what measure that we judge others, we will be judged by the same measure. And we have to make sure we're doing it based on the fruit that's actually being produced, the action, the way they're living. So we have to be careful about that. When we look, I want us to draw some lessons from this teaching that Jesus gives. And we can look at the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 through 27. We need to look at our heart. What can we draw from this lesson? We can we can look at people and know how they are from their fruits. But what is my responsibility? What do I have to do to bear good fruit? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 through 27 says this: keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. We can look at this proverb and see that there's a self-examination that we have to do. We must view our actions with an honest heart. We need to watch over our heart with all diligence. And we look at diligence as something that we are doing consistently. It's not a once a year thing. It's not examination of just a few times. It's a constant looking and being diligently looking at ourselves and self-examining us ourselves, so that we can make changes to our life and to how God wants us to live and how we should live. And we need to keep our hearts in check, because out of the heart springs the issues of life. And are we following the commandments of God or the traditions of men? If we are following the commandments of God, that's we are looking, and we have to examine to make sure that we are doing that. And it also gets into this, our influences. What we might have to change, who is influencing us? Are we spending more time with worldly influences than godly influences? Well, are we spending more time reading this or reading that when we should be reading the Word of God to make sure that it's influencing me? Or should we be spending time with Christians more to have good influences in me to, to affect my heart, so that when I live my life, that I am going and producing good fruit and coming out of what my heart is, what comes into a man and what goes out are my actions. And sometimes influences happen. When we looked at blame shifting and blaming others and those types of things of why I am the way I am, well, yeah, influences have an impact. But we have that individual responsibility to be right with God. We have that individual responsibility to do what is right. And that we have to keep in check. We got to be diligent to make sure, and self-examination is what is flowing into my heart, so what my life and the way I live my life and my words comes out the way that is pleasing to God. And sometimes my influences happen that way. But I have that individual responsibility to be right with God. So we need to watch over our hearts, and this includes putting good things into my heart. And there's some things that we need to take away from our heart. In verse 24, it says, put away evil speech. Let change the way we speak. This may be putting words that you speak negatively, or swearing, or using God's name in vain, gossip or lying, or include a deceitful mouth. We look at this and we got to be careful that what's coming out of our heart is what's going to define us. And we got to be careful with our speech. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25 through 29. It's there, it says, therefore, putting aside lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. We look at this and we can look at the conduct in which we should live. We should not let no deceitful speech, let no speech come out of our mouth that is going to defile us. We need to be careful of that. And also, not only our speech we got to be careful with, but our path. Our path, and back in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 26, that we must watch our path. If we want to keep our hearts right with God, we need to watch the path that we live. And that's that self-examination that we have to do. We need to make sure what is proceeding out of a man is the path in which we are living, the way we are living, the path with which we trod. The way our path is established from our heart. The way that we live is the product of how my heart is. And is it right? Is it doing good? Am I doing and following the way thing God wants me to? Or am I just living my life however I want and with no repercussions or no thought of how I'm living my life? You see, we have to watch our path. We have to watch the way we are living our life. Because we know that what is in our heart is how we're going to live. So we have to watch our path and live it a way that we are right with God. And in doing that, we have to turn from evil. We need to be alert of the path that and allow of how it is and make sure we're turning away from evil. And he said, do not turn from to the right. Don't go too far to the right and do like the Pharisees did and the scribes, where they were making laws and commandments and saying, you know, well, this is too far. But we also got to be careful about going too far to the left. Don't just say, well, God said this and he didn't really mean that, so we're going to just live it however we want. We have to be careful that we live a balanced life. In order to do that, we must follow God's way. If we just follow God's way, don't go too far to the right, don't go too far to the left, we will be careful of how we choose and live our life, our path. And we got to be careful of that. We need to do the desired path, and that is God's way. And when we just follow God's way, it will keep us safe. It'll be pleasing to God. As we contemplate the things that Jesus taught and the things that are in this proverb, why are we living the way we are living? Now, we could look and blame others for this, but we look at our conduct and our actions, and we can only put the responsibility on ourselves. We have to do what is right. We have to look at God's way and follow God's way and live God's way. So to answer the question, why are we the way we are? It is, what are we putting into our heart? What are we putting into our heart? Are we filling it with godly things, or are we filling it with worldly things? We see we have a choice to make. God gives us that choice. You can either follow God or not follow God. You can follow His commandments and His desires, or we can follow our traditions and our own desires. You see, our eternity determines how we answer that question. Are we going to follow God's ways, or are we going to follow man's ways? Are we going to follow the path to righteousness, or are we going to the path of destruction? We need to be careful how we answer that. Our eternity determines that outcome. And we look at that, and it's based on the things that proceed out of our lives. And that is our actions, our words, our conduct, the way we live our lives. You see, we need to make sure that we're living a life that is pleasing to God. So I ask you today, are you doing that? And if we can help you in looking at Scripture to help you live your life according to God's way, please contact us. And the screen following will give us the contact information. And if we can help you in any way, please reach out.